ink. I hated it. I was like, that soft. I'm not soft. I'm so hard. I'm a you up in the Walmart parking lot to wear pink. I was a little hood rat, like a thug wannabe fighting people in the streets. And
yeah,
pink was like,
was not
soft.
It.
Pink was like soft vagina girly. That's what it felt like to me. You're pink. And so I was like, not black, like my soul all the way was how I, that was it. And then as I started doing the inner work and softening, I promise you, pink came around and it was like, I don't know. It just meant womanhood and it meant
yes,
empowerment and it meant confidence.
Welcome to the Bod Pod, the podcast where everybody is welcome. I'm your host, Rachel K. Grimm, and each week we welcome old and new friends to talk all things body image, self-love, and confidence. This is the Bod Pod.
Welcome to the Bod Pod, the podcast of the BodCon community. Are we born confident or is it something learned? What is the secret sauce to confidence? I'm your host, Rachel K. Grimm, and today we have a guest who's inspiring confidence and a much needed positive mindset shift absolutely worldwide. Joining forces with Erica Kramer today, known as the Queen of Confidence, for a conversation that I know is about to ignite your confidence and perhaps shift your perspective too. Erica, thank you so much for being here with us.
I'm so happy to be here. My face hurts. We just started and my cheeks are so sore.
That's the best feeling. For BodPod listeners who might not know you, I want to give a little bit of an intro. So Erica Kramer, you are the driving force behind the Queen of Confidence, and your story is all about epic resilience, radical transformation, and absolutely unstoppable strength. From early life drama and a teenage leap into the U.S. Army, holy crap, love and heartbreak intertwined for a car crash shattering your back and even left you widowed. Girl, you don't do anything ordinary. The Queen of Confidence is a global powerhouse that has turned women around the world into rock stars. You have an incredible podcast, The Confidence Chronicles, with over 2.2 million downloads. I can already tell, like you said, we can't stop smiling, our cheeks hurt. Your energy is off the charts. You are coaching, empowering, you're doing speaking gigs, and you have a seven-figure empire. You are just truly the queen to be on the podcast. Mm. I can't wait to jump into this. Oh, Erica,
love bomb. Thank
let's
you
go
so much.
Yes, girl.
I'm like receiving and trying not to cry over here. I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I don't want to say always, but I tend to have some guests who we get a little tears going because sometimes when you're just sharing that hype up energy, it wells out of you with tears.
Yeah.
Some of us listening know about you. I think a lot of us listening know about you. We're talking confidence here. But for someone who doesn't know you, I want to really talk about your comeuppance in the confidence space in what you do. And I want to dive into that U.S. Army piece things. How has this trauma shaped your outlook on life?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because when you go through the story, and I play a video, like my life story video, every time I speak at an event or every time I run a workshop, and people are just like, their mouth just keeps dropping to the floor. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And it's crazy for me to watch it because literally I see that story and I hear it. And I'm like, who's that? That is not my life right now at all.
Yeah.
However, I experienced that. And I'm like, damn, did we really move through all of that? And some of it's not even, it's too much to even share. So now I guess I look back at it and I go, it's because of that. And genuinely, I believe this. And many people that have had a hard, difficult, challenging experience or life believe this. It's I am who I am because of that. That may break me. But man, I felt like it was breaking me at the time. I think I genuinely think it was the work. There's no way in the world that I would be who I am and be living the flourishing, happy life and beautiful relationship and joy that I experienced if I hadn't looked back at all that, went back into it, sifted through it, found the lessons, found the jewels and the gold and the diamond in the really. And been like, oh, okay, this is something good. This is something good. Because we focus on all the bad stuff that happens and we don't go back to catch the lessons and the blessings and the rewards and the diamonds that's in. It's like, oh, I'm going to leave that alone and pretend it didn't happen. We can't access the lesson of the difficulty, and every difficulty has a lesson. And so we can't become who we want to become. And that thing was just an air quotes bad thing that happened. And I'm like, no, like we can't. So yeah, that trauma definitely, I've done so much. And I know a lot of people say they've done the work and I'm still doing the work. I am healing, not healed.
So yes.
It's been a blessing.
I think that journey, just like a confidence journey, is very much up and down, right? Like healing is always occurring. Mm-hmm. Yeah, girl, it's not. I love that you share that. Yeah. I want to know, on this journey to healing, was there one moment that kind of sparked in your mind, okay, it's time to really start making a change in my life, or a moment that sparked this queen of confidence?
So the moment for me, I had, my husband had passed away and the year before I had broke my back and I had like sexual abuse. I was kidnapped. I was in foster care my whole life. I was physically abused. Like I had a lot. And then Gio died. And I was like, control, alt, delete, TKO, get me off the planet. I'm done. I was like, are you for real? Like, this is a joke. Like I genuinely felt like cursed, damaged, something was wrong. Like I ended up on the wrong planet. So I numbed out for 3 years. And then I was a hairdresser at the time. And I was in the army and I was modeling because I'm a Gemini manifesting generator. And I was doing
We love a Gemini queen. I'm a Sagittarius and all my girls are Gemini.
Oh, Gio was a Sagittarius. Are you a December baby?
I am a December Sag. I'm partial, but they're my favorite.
Gio, my husband who passed away, Giovanni, he was a December baby. His brother was a December baby. And so that happened. And I was like, I can't. And so I didn't know everyone's, you need to process this. And I'm like, what does that mean? I grew up in the hood. We didn't grow up. Like I had to go to therapy as a kid, but I just, it was typical horrible therapy. Like a person who was across from you with a clipboard and you just felt so, it wasn't good. So I'm like, excuse me. I'm like, okay, what do I need to do to process? I don't know how to do this. So I just drank and numbed out for 3 years. I went to a hair conference in Las Vegas and I met this man, girl, as you do, poolside. And he had this $10 thing. It was money. And Australian money is so wild. It's like plastic and colored and beautiful. It is not like American money. It's so pretty. And I'm like, what is that? And he was like, $10. And then we just started chatting. And I'm like, cool, this guy's amazing. Fell in love, supposedly, and followed him across Australia and was like, my stuff is not going to come across the Pacific Ocean. Okay. Or Atlantic Ocean. Sorry. It's not going to follow me across the waves. And it did. It followed me and ended up coming to Australia with me. But I was trying to escape my life. I was trying to let go of all of that stuff and say, I don't have to deal with that. And so that's what brought me to Australia. And then he ended up being like a really bad guy, like toxic, narcissist, horrible. And then I met another man that was just like him, but nicer. Same thing.
Okay.
And he broke up with me on my birthday. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh my God. We can't keep blaming my mom, the foster home, Gio's death, the military, Roy, Paul. It can't be. Like, I'm the one. So I'm telling you, right, Rachel, that was the day. Like, I looked in the mirror and I was like, you're the common denominator in the hot mess of a life.
That your
life. Like, it's you against you. And that was like, I woke up. I was like, oh my God. Okay, if it's me, what do I need to do? And at the time, my personal trainer, who was really lovely, very spiritual Sri Lankan dude who was like meditating and nice guy, he ended up becoming my husband. And he was like, I know about coaches and clairvoyant and meditation. And you should, if you want, you gently offered me to do what the work was. And that's really the moment, like Hamish going, hey, just if you want, there's coaching and there's this, and here's a book. And I don't know if it serves you, and gently nudging me. And I was just like 12 months. I was a completely different person. And I just got obsessed with the personal development junkie, as I'm sure you are as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. When you said you looked in the mirror and you realized, okay, I have to make a change.
Yeah.
I think so many of us can resonate with that on a confidence journey, whether that's in a situation similar to yours, or we talk so much about body confidence too.
Yes.
Being willing to accept, hey, I'm the common denominator, which means I'm the only one who can make a change, is really like the launch pad for a totally different life.
100%.
Just getting,
It was like, I was listening to Wayne Dyer a lot back then. Like my one coach gave me Wayne Dyer, and he's such a spirit animal. Like he really helped me with my anger. So I grew up in the hood. I was a roughneck. I was beating people up. I was, all my trauma caused anger. And so I let it out with anger. And so he really helped me with anger. And I remember listening to one of his books, and it was like, Happiness is the Way. And it said, when you take responsibility, you have an ability to respond. Like you can respond with ability. And I was like, whoa, like responsibility is my ability to change it and respond.
Yeah.
What? It was, yeah, it was huge.
So let's then talk about, you had this breakthrough moment for you personally that got you into this space. What was the moment that really launched the Confidence Queen and how we know you now?
Yeah. So I, again, Gemini, I came to Australia and I started working for a hair company. So I always did confidence. It was just hair. And then it was, yeah. I became a stylist and then it was the coaching. So now it's the internal confidence, but forever, since I was a kid, I was doing external confidence. And yeah. I remember I was working at this company. I had my son, I was working and I was like, yeah, whatever. This company is great. In Australia, you get paid really well, even if you didn't go to school. And it was like a meh kind of job. And on the side, I had built this like side hustle of styling. So I was doing styling events with women called Styling Confidently. And we would dress them for their body shape and love your body. And you're a banana and you're a pear and you're curvy. And the business was called the Queen of Curves back then.
Love.
Yeah. So it went from
really meant to be on the bod pod.
I'm telling you, girl, I was all about like body yes. positive. Love your body, dress the way that makes you feel good. The colors that look good on you are the ones you like, you know, like really trying to rewire the image persona of women. And mm-hmm. it was a lot of curvy space. And I was a size 10 and women would be like, why are you in the plus size space? And I'm like, it's not the plus size space. It's the woman's confidence space. And I'm interested. Yeah. And she was like, okay, good answer. And I'm like, okay, thanks for accepting me. And so one lady came up to me at an event and said, hey, I'd really love to come to more of your events, but I'm not curvy. And I don't know. I don't feel like I can come. And I was like, whoa, this is not about excluding anyone. And so right. I realized that the word curvy has so yes. many different meanings. So this lady who to me was more thin and slim, she didn't feel curvy. And so she felt like I can't be here. And that was not the message. I was pregnant with my second son. I had my last event, and when he was born, I had a home birth at home. It was the first birth was horrible at the hospital, cesarean, traumatic. And wow. then this birth, they were like, you can't have your baby naturally. And I'm like, watch me. I did a lot of work on my mind and my body so that I could. And I mm-hmm. had him at home. And my husband was like, wow. I don't know who was birthed, if it was him or you, because this woman started to come out when I birthed Nava. He was like, whoo, damn, babe. Like, I'm already this crazy American in Australia that I feel like I'm a powerful being already. But he was like, this next level version of you came after the birth. And I said, I'm not going to go back to work. I don't want to side mm-hmm. hustle. I don't want to do styling. It was some shower wisdom. The shower wisdom that comes when you're alone.
It's the best. It's the best.
Like, get all the ideas in the shower. And I said to my husband, I'm not going back to L'Oreal. I'm not going to do styling anymore. I'm not going to tell women that they need to wear horizontal stripes. I don't give a shit about that. I want to do the inner confidence. And in the shower, it was like, what is the company about? What are you about? And it was like confidence. And I'm like, the name is changing. It's the Queen of Confidence. It's about confidence. It's about the internal game. And literally, like, we were broke. We were like, I say it like jokingly, we were in America broke, because in America when we were broke, but we were Australia broke, and this country is very rich. So we had our electricity on a payment plan. We had spent all of our savings. We had a second son. We bought a SUV that we shouldn't have done. We're looking for coins to buy bread. Like, it was horrible financially. Like, we were really in a bad place. And then I said to him, I'm not going back to my 90K contract. And he's brown, he turned white. Are you on drugs? Are you still on the oxytocin from the birth? I was like, I'm telling you right now, I have not listened to the call. And it's been coming for me since I was in America. And I'm going to listen. So that was really the moment where I said, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to, like, Gary Vee was in my ear. I was breastfeeding, running around with kids. I looked like a hot mess, but I was like, I'm doing this. And in that first year, I don't know, in 11 months, we made 160K in the business. Like, just
girl.
What I was doing. And then the next year was 554,000. As a Puerto Rican from food stamps, welfare, to make $500,000 by myself. First of all, I didn't think I could, because I was like, I'm not smart. I'm not white enough. I'm not educated. I'm not whatever. I was like, holy. And that really started the movement and the brand. And the Queen of Confidence is not, I'm not the Queen of Confidence. She's like my alter ego. She's like,
We're
all queens and we want to step into our confidence. So I was like, I hated the name for a little while, because I was like, I'm not the queen. I don't want to be the queen. And my husband's like, be the queen. Like, you need to do it. People want leadership.
Yeah. Follow and subscribe to our YouTube page for the best experience, because we're on camera right now and I know you want to see Erica and I's smiling faces. You can also download the BodCon app for free to watch, listen, and chat with us in real time. So you dropped some very specific money bombs, which I love, because we need more women talking specifically about money, right? Can you tell us about maybe a core value or principle that really drives your work that you believe has allowed you to get to those big numbers that you even surprised yourself to be reaching?
I think that integrity for me, like keeping it real, like in the streets, we would say keeping it real as a value. I feel like that's integrity. And there's, I think social media for a long time, especially in the body and the image and the follower and the influencer space, has been all about looking nice and looking beautiful and the highlight reel. And then you have me that's like, I have to do a spiritual poo before I just got on the stage, ladies. And everyone's looking at me like, are you for real? And I'm like, yeah, you know, like spiritual poo. And they're like, oh yeah, no. And then I'm like, I'm a hot mess and I'm working a side job while I'm breastfeeding and building my business. So I'm just telling them all. I'm like, I feel like it's how you become with, like, nobody can touch you. If, you know what I'm saying? You can't touch me if I tell you I don't have my nails on today and I swear and I say this and I'm a hot mess. And they're like, oh, I can't really dig at you because you owned what you think
who
is a
you
weakness.
Are.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't touch me. So then I just started going and sharing realness. Like, I would be doing a live and my kid was with me and I'm like, sorry, my kid's with me. And I'm like, wait a minute, I gotta breastfeed him so he doesn't cry. And then I can keep doing the live. Like that fresh, real stuff was like, oh, wow, this is permission. And I felt like women didn't feel like they were intimidated or I was so perfect and amazing that I was eroding connection. Like perfection erodes connection. You don't feel like this is me if my cuticles are on point 24/7. So I was trying to just be me and be like, yo, this is all allowed permission. I'm going to sneeze on camera. I'm going to do my podcast in my car. My e-tag keeping because I haven't paid my damn bill. My hoops are hitting my Apple headphones. There was no fancy at the beginning. And that's actually what did the best, Rachel. Like those podcasts back in the day, people I think just wanted some, I just want some realness. Like this fake was getting to them. Yeah, I think that integrity has been it. And I haven't bought followers. I haven't paid people to do whatever. And look, I know that it's a thing and followers help you get book deals and there's so much that I've said no to because it's just on an integrity level. I'm like I don't influence. I don't go 20% for blah, blah, blah. And if people do, that's cool. But I'm like, I'm not going to sell my soul to the Hannah Montana Disney Devils. I'm not doing it because I want to say something and people trust me and people believe me. So that when I go, yo, listen to the BodCon podcast, subscribe to the YouTube, let us know how this episode was. People go, hell yeah. And they're going to do it. Yeah.
Yes. When you lead with integrity, people always know that you're going to show up as your most real self on every space that they find you, whether that's it's permission. You on your own stage that you're speaking or you're on someone else's podcast, or as you said, potentially writing a book, manifesting, like to be able to be yourself also allows other people to be themselves. And that is one of the most freeing gifts that you could give someone.
It's beautiful. It really is. And it's permission giving too. You get to mess up and you're like, hey, we might have tech issues. Hey, I might say the wrong thing. I'm good with it if you're good with it. And then people all of a sudden, oh, she's like me. We're normal. Like I feel comfortable.
Right.
You really want to connect with someone that you feel welcomed and comfortable with. And so that's over everything. I'm a normal human who farts, who has kids, who messes up. Like, I want women to feel like it's accessible, especially what the results are, like the results you've gotten. You want people to know, hey, I'm not some unicorn. I'm actually not special. I'm actually not special at all. I should be homeless on the streets of Boston, addicted to drugs and pregnant
to
multiple people.
That's
what I should be. So how the fuck do we have this? If I got it, you got it. If I could do it, you could do it. It's like permission, which you give as well. And it's beautiful.
Thank you. And I think often with confidence, people can be so intimidated initially by confidence, right? We see another woman walking in her power. And if we're not feeling confident in ourselves, it can make us feel intimidated and see her as our competition. Yeah. But when we act in our confidence in a way that is so aligned, as you said, with that integrity, we give people that permission to be like, oh, wait, no, she isn't my competition. She's actually a part of this community where we all can feel like the best, most confident version of ourselves. And that doesn't mean, as you said, we don't do all of these human things.
Yeah.
But we, to be confident doesn't mean to be fake.
Yeah. It's a mirror too. If you yeah. see something that I always have a friend who is not an opportunistic person at all. She doesn't like when women are very opportunistic. And I get it.
Sure.
There are some women that are so much, it's so much that it's like, yo, chill. That's very broken. Yeah.
yeah.
But I said, is there 5% of that you could take? Could you ask for more yeah. help? Could you put yourself in places for opportunity? Of course there is. But if you negate that and if you judge her, you'll never access the 5% that you, maybe that's too much, but you could take a piece of it. But if you go judging that person, you'll never have any of it. So it's, could you yes. take a piece of that woman that's extra confident that maybe you think is arrogant and just maybe that's a mirror for you to go, actually, that's, I should be doing that. I need to have some of that. And can I, how do I bring that into my life when I criticize it and I judge it?
Absolutely. And what's so funny about what you just said is so often the thing that we point out in other people as a flaw is actually something that we are struggling with internally ourselves, yeah. right? And so to be able to flip it to the other side and say, what if I took 5% of that? I love that. That is an excellent takeaway for everyone listening.
Thank you. Yay.
You're welcome. I want to talk about, for anyone who is watching on YouTube, you are seeing Erica in like full on pink room that you're sitting in. If we go to your Instagram, pink everything. And obviously we know I'm a lover of pink. Same thing, yep. like always wearing it. Lots of pink in the closet, pink on Instagram, all the things. And thinking a lot lately about how the world is moving in this pink way because of Barbie, I'd say.
Barbie.
Like it's such a trend, right? I know, same. But I'm like, I've been wearing pink for a long time. Can we please? But it's okay. Like letting Barbie have her moment, letting everyone have their pink moment. And I feel like you're an OG pink girl too.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the color pink for you because the color pink can often be seen as this feminine, fragile thing. But you have reclaimed what pink is. It's no longer this fragile thing. It's actually something very powerful. So I'm curious to know from you, did you always see pink as this powerful thing or what made you lean into pink?
Such a good question. Cause I hated pink. I hated it. I was like, that's soft. I'm not soft. I'm so hard. I'm gonna you up in the Walmart parking lot to wear pink. I was a little hood rat, like a thug wannabe fighting people in the streets. And pink was like,
was not soft. It.
Pink was like soft vagina girly. That's what it felt like to me. You're pink. And so I was like, not black, like my soul all the way was how I, that was it. And then as I started doing the inner work and softening, I promise you, pink came around and it was like, I don't know. It just meant womanhood and it meant empowerment and it meant confidence. And like, literally when I think about the color, and it's so funny because you don't know this, but it's weird that you asked this question, but I have a whole like pink situation, like a whole story because I started with a magenta hot pink, which I feel like is a very juvenile, young, you're 20, you have hair extensions and you're like lashes and you're like, I'm pink. And that it took me through that trick. And then I was like, we grown woman sexy, like we need to do like a blush pink. And so the pink in the brand evolved. What does it feel like for the women? Not what do I like, but what does it feel like for the women of the world? Mm-hmm. And it was like this blush. It's not, this is a bit hot, but it's like the one on your head and the one on my wall.
Yeah.
Like it was like this meticulous, specific blush pink that we needed to find that was welcoming to all women, even if they didn't love pink. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Wild.
I actually just painted a wall in my office space pink. Ooh. And when I tell you, I looked at so many different swatches and I actually thought about what you just said. I love a hot pink. Like that is my go-to pink, but it can be much of a turnoff to a lot of people because I think they think of pink the way that you said you used to. And I very much resonate with that. And I did a lot of thinking, okay, what is the pink that resonates? And you're right. I think all of us, like, even if we look back at that version of yourself and you're like, oh, I hated pink. No, I would never. There's something that just makes you can find a little bit of love for it and finding that softer pink is it. So anyway, I painted my office wall like a softer pink.
Yeah. There's She's an incredible like activist. She speaks about racism in the UK, Sophie Williams.
Okay.
And she made this book called Millennial Black. And ooh, it's so crazy because it's like a baby pink, but it's mm-hmm. like black letters. And then the message is like activism on racism and showing up in the workplace for black women at work. And
yeah,
I don't know. I just, because I was weird about baby pink, like soft pink. And then I saw her book and I was like, wow, like how they, it was HarperCollins, like how they branded it on the streets and how her book looked and all the collateral. I was like, all right, baby pink. So I brought in a little bit of baby pink because of Sophie.
Yeah.
So shout out to Sophie Williams.
You definitely rock it as the brand. And as we said, with permission, like giving other women the permission to love pink.
But even you with the hat. So I, a lot of podcasts that I do, the men that I do podcasts with are always like, oh, because I usually, I'm so sad, but I'm going to the desert next week. So I don't have my nails on.
Oh,
but I usually, I know I'm going on like a hiking trip, girl. I'm so not ready. I'm like packing list. Oh, I need to look at that because what I wear is not hiking. So I usually have press-on nails and they are, okay, after COVID, I was like, I'm not sitting at the nail salon for 2 hours. And I like Gemini manifest and generate a crazy on my fingers and nobody can do it. So it'll, I'll be there for 10 hours. So I usually have these crazy press-on nails that look like Swarovski crystals and long and it's, hot, but it's so fun.
Yes.
And I'll be on this podcast and I'm like doing my nails and my head. And these people are like, how do you go out in the streets and do people look at you? And I'm just like, it must look crazy because I don't, I'm in Australia. Like I look like American, but in Australia, people don't really look like this. So yeah. I went to a cafe yesterday with a hot pink trench coat and a hot pink hat with big ass bamboo hoops and pink boots. And my husband just talks to me like normal and people are staring at me and I just wave. And I'm like,
I love that for you.
You know, where the fun, like your life is a special occasion. You will die one day. Stop saving the jewelry. Stop saving the pretty dress and the sequins. Don't stop waiting for when I'm this size.
Yes.
Girl, what if you don't, like, I'm always like, what if I die next week? Like losing Gio, I live on such purpose because I don't know. So I'm going to squeeze the juice and grind the lemon on my life every damn day because we don't know when we're going to go. So wear the ridiculous hats and the fun lipstick and the fun shoes. Love it up. We gotta, especially after motherhood and your body changes and you don't love the way you look. And so we save these jeans in the closet, these asshole jeans that just look at us every day and go, you're not good enough to wear me. You need to go lose weight. These jeans are so mean and we keep them in our closet. I'm like, that energy, that negative energy in your closet with those jeans that don't fit you. It's like, you're not good enough. I'm like, no, get rid of them. Who cares about the size? Buy jeans that fit you. Love yourself. Love your life. Rock your
That's
crazy.
The things that we subject ourselves to that we would never allow the women in our life to put up with. You know, we would, I would never let my best friend do that. I would never let my mom do that, but I would do that to myself. No, let me have the same standard for myself that I have for the women that I love.
Yes, we have to.
Speaking of our bodies, those jeans in the closet, all the things. Let's speak specifically for a sec to those on their body confidence journey. Yes. I would love to hear from you any words of encouragement or hot tips you have for someone who is on that journey to accepting and loving their body.
Yeah, it's such a journey, isn't it? Because I remember I was in yoga one time and I got this like aha moment or download or something. And it was like, we look at our body as so subjective externally, like it's supposed to look thin or look tan or be a certain look, like the external image, the external confidence, right? It was a message about, and it still is a message about, even if you want to change your body, which is okay, you're allowed to want to change your body, but you need to love your today body into the change you want to make. And so what we normally do is we hate our bodies. We send like negative, nasty energy with our thoughts and our words and our feelings into our bodies. And then we expect this body to walk us around, to sit us down, to put us to sleep, to hold us up, to lose its weight. We expect our body to do all these things so that we can think it's enough. And any relationship that you treat like shit and go, when you look better, then I'll be good to you, that relationship is going to finish. So you're doing that with your body. You're attached to your body. And it's like, we can love our today body into change, but you can't hate your body into change. Like you just can't get sick. I really believe in that whole like Bruce Lipton, like the way you think makes you sick. You know that, I don't know if you probably do, but the Dr. Emoto experiment where they put water and they label the water with hate. And then they label the water with love. And the water with hate, after 2 weeks, the molecules are sick and disgusting and horrible. So we are 70% water. What are you saying about yourself to your body? Like it's not going to change if you send hate to it. So I think first and foremost, finding what you do love. And I want to be realistic. I don't really do affirmations. And I think
that's okay.
I don't do them because it needs to be believable. And I feel like most of us say stuff we don't believe and we don't feel. And if I just say, I love my body, I love my body, I love my body, and I don't feel that, and if I don't get a visualization of love and body, and it's not going to work. And I'm about choosing a better feeling and a better thought. So I hate my body to I love my body is very far. That's a far walk.
Yes. Yes.
And it's I hate my body. I'm on my way to learning how to love my body. I know that I will love my body. I love my elbows. Okay, cool. I love my elbows. Whatever. Like it's a better thought than I hate my body.
Yes.
It's not quite I love my body. And this bypassing of it's if you're good with it, cool. But if you go to sleep at night and you get naked and you're putting your head down on your pillow and you are alone and any part of you is not happy, you're lying to yourself. And so instead of abandoning and lying to yourself, how do you get good with the journey of loving the body?
Yes.
That's the realness. You have to get good with that journey. So that's a big thing for me, is like loving your right now body.
That is such a good tip. And I know something that so many people are going to take away from. And I even love hearing, because as we said before, like confidence is such a journey and there are good days and bad days. And the idea of, oh my gosh, loving your elbows. I love it. So random. But if you can find one little thing to love, I do that a lot. I love to, I'm going to be honest. I'm a little bit on the opposite of, I love words. And so I love affirmations as like words. Yep. And so I don't necessarily say them out loud, but I'll write myself notes. Mm. And sometimes it's hard to find, as you said, something that you love. Like some days I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I look hot today. Like I love this look. And other days I'm like, I don't really like me today. I don't like how I'm showing up. But when I can find one thing that I do love, that's a step, or as you said, or even tolerate, like that's a step closer.
Or even I'm on my way.
Like, on my way. That's how you said it.
I'm on my way to learning. You could even say, I am about to be on my way to learn on how to love myself. That feels better. Energetically, that statement is 1,000 times higher vibration than I hate my body.
Yes.
Oh, density. I hate my body. Yes. I'm on my way to learning how to love my body. That is solution.
Yeah.
That's not victimhood. Like that is solution.
Yeah.
We're on our way. I am learning. I even say to my clients, they're like, because I'm not good at that. And I'm like, re-say that. They're like, so 5 minutes ago, I wasn't good at that. And I'm like, good, clean it up. If that happens, when this happens, like my husband and I'm like, do not say this is how it is.
I say that all the time. I said that to our producer, Leslie, today. I say that to my husband all the time. I say, it's not if, it's when. 100%. When it happens. And I might sound a little bit delusional, but like, I'm okay with that because
you're manifesting. That's manifesting.
Exactly, girl.
Or it's a manifestation because literally
there we go.
You have to speak it into existence. Like we are magicians of the material world and what we say and think is going to impact us. And obviously as a coach and therapist, I'm getting my bachelor's in psychotherapy right now. And it's
you go, girl.
Busy enough because there's not a lot going on. My husband's like, you're crazy. But like, I know that, you know, what people, a lot of people work on CBT and like your thoughts and your feelings and change your thoughts. And let me be real. It's not easy to change your thoughts. It's not easy. I can't, I'm thinking so many thoughts a day. I'm thinking horrible things. Sometimes I'm thinking amazing things. So it's not so much about changing your thoughts. You're going to change your life, but it's like, you could choose what you believe. Mm-hmm. I am like an investigator. Like there's a security guard at the front of my mind and there's a party going on in there. And I'm like, who the is you at the door? I didn't invite you. You can't come in. Let me see some ID. Most of us just don't even know that there's a door or that there's a security, like things are just coming in. And then we're choosing to believe nasty things about ourselves. And that's making us feel horrible. And then we create an outcome like a narcissistic partner or a job we hate or an abusive friend, or it's no, like we get to choose what we want to believe about ourselves. Can we choose what we think? No. But you could choose what you want to believe. And that's that's the power. So a tangible thing for body, and I had two kids and I always, I think I've been the same size, same shape, same weight for a very long time. I've had more of an athletic build and I would consider myself curvy and I love a big booty and I love all that. That's my jam. Yes. Thickness. I love it. I wish my booty was bigger, but anyway, so like for me, I think my area, my trouble area was always my stomach and still is like the front of my stomach. And recently I've been discovering that wanting to be air quotes skinny is not enough. Mm-hmm. It's not enough.
Yeah.
I'm still, I have still been trying to nurture myself with comfort food. I have still been, I want to have a drink. I was struggling with so much of this, like many of us do. And I think that there's body positive and loving your body. And then there's internal health. And women, if we really want to get some change happening, it would be so good to find out, are you gluten intolerant? How is your cholesterol or whatever the hell, blood sugar? You know, what's going on in your gut? 85% of Americans have parasites. 85%. That's like everyone has parasites in their brain, in their stomach. We just had it in our house because the kids are dirty. Like kids pick their bum and do all the nasty things when they're in school, like little five-year-old kid. So I'm like, what? Like I found out about that and I didn't realize how common it is. And so it changed the way that I saw my inner health. And then of course it's going to change how I treat my body, which is going to change how my body ends up looking. And it's not because I want to be skinny and be tan and have a six pack. It's because I don't want parasites in my stomach. And gluten is the devil for my tummy. It's not good for me. And dairy is not good for me either. So when we start worrying about our internal health, instead of being so focused on being a weight and being skinny and slim and whatever size, it changes the game. And that's internal health and that's long-term. And it doesn't matter the size that you are. It matters about the longevity because I don't want to die of heart disease. That's
why
I want to be skinny.
You know, what's cool is you just talked about internal health, like the true health part of it, right? And earlier you spoke to when we're feeling good inside and we project that goodness on the outside. How wild that those two totally go hand in hand. Like you wouldn't think that they would, but
100%
very much the same.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about your podcast because hello, we're here chatting on a podcast and your podcast is like absolutely killing it. So I want to really talk about how your podcast and launching your podcast has almost widespread your message. Mm-hmm. What has that impact been for you with the podcast?
Yeah. So I think when I said I launched my business in 2017 and I was like, what did Gary Vee say in the book, Crushing It? I'm doing it. I was like YouTube for 40 days, Instagram. Yeah. I started a podcast on Anchor in my car. Like you should listen to the audio. It is so horrible. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The audio doesn't matter. I was like, I have a message to share. I don't even care if people listen. So I was sharing this message and it was literally in my car. You could probably 15, 20 minutes. My husband, I remember he gave me some advice. And it sounds harsh, but I'm so happy he said it to me. And I feel like it's completely changed the way that I started podcasting and continue to podcast. Don't waffle on, blah, 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 about get to the point, say what you got to say. You don't waffle on about, because I do, I love to say the same thing 50 times. And I was like, okay. And then it became 15, 20 minute, get to the point, let's go. And I think that's why it did well, because I was basically like a big sister on Bluetooth on your car. I was sounded like you were calling me because the audio wasn't good. And you hear my kids sometimes, you know, it's just like talking to a friend and I was all about women believing in themselves. So after maybe 8 months, a lady messaged me on Instagram and she said, I was a guest on a podcast and they had a proper like podcast team like you. They had real things going on. And I was still doing on my voice memos with my Apple headphones. Yeah. And she said to me, hey, I don't know if you, but you're number six in Australia for mental health. And I was like, oh, really? And she said to me, I don't know how, because honestly, your audio is terrible, but you're doing something. Like she was straight up. She was like an audio lover. Like she, Brown is amazing at audio. And she was just like, I am flabbergasted because this is not computing. Like what's happening? And so I said to her like, okay. And then literally Rachel, that was when I was like, oh, you better get your together. Take this serious. Cause I was just shooting in the air with my message. Cause I didn't know what else to do. And we had no money. And I was like, I'm doing what he said. So I was hitting the airways everywhere I could, which I don't recommend in the beginning. You shouldn't splatter all your content on everything because you'll burn out, right? But I was like, I was dying. So I'm like, I got to do this or else we're not going to have any money. And so the one thing that stuck was Instagram and the podcast.
Yeah.
And I noticed in 3 months, I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to focus on more. And
yeah,
the podcast started doing its thing. And then I got someone to help. I got that lady actually to help me slowly with the podcast. And I still did it in my car. And then now I think we now have 218 countries. America is actually our number one, which is so weird because it wasn't for a long time. So America is our number one country, then Australia. And 2.6 million downloads now, which is insane.
Oh, that's an increased number from what we said. So everything that we said earlier, 2.6, girl, that's amazing.
I know. I couldn't believe it. And it was just like,
wow.
Like people are listening and women are, it's helping them. And like the messages you guys get, the novels of things, of one episode versus 5 years of therapy. And I really just think if we're speaking realness and we're not trying to get it right, we're just sharing from heart space and you're not scared to say stuff that may, like people get triggered all the time on my Instagram. They're like, I got to unfollow you, but I'll be back. I just can't deal right now. And I'm like, cool. I love you. Send
That's
you love.
Okay.
Like, I just want to be able to share messages that people will be like, yes. Okay. I needed to hear that.
Yes. So Erica, I want to know any special little projects or plans you have in the pipeline for the Queen of Confidence that we can all be on the lookout for.
Yes. Okay. So I have a second book in the works. So it's It's marinating.
I dropped a little sprinkles earlier that I was like, she has something with a book going on. This is exciting.
I'm sending you ladies the first book, The Confidence Feels Like Book. So a pink pack is going to come to your door. I know you'll appreciate it.
Yes.
So the first book was really about the truth about confidence, like how it feels, how it's hard and it's not easy. And confident women are brave and they're like you and I, you can access it if you're willing to be brave and get in the arena, as Brene Brown says, and get punched in the face.
Yes.
And I wanted to share that because I think we think confidence is this golden star. Like when I'm confident, then I'll have everything. And it's no, it feels horrible to be confident. It is so courageous and uncomfortable. And so that was that book. And it goes through the 5 C's and the practice of confidence. And then this next book is really a next kind of step about like showing up and taking up space and eradicating imposter syndrome. And how can we speak up, show up, stand up? So that's hopefully, it's in the works right now. So I don't know much about what's happening yet, but hopefully in the next 18 months, that'll be in your hands, I hope.
Yes.
So that's going down. And then we have the Sisterhood, which is our year-long coaching program for women that want to heal and change their lives. And I'm so blessed that we've had women from like 60 countries join this incredible community.
Wow.
It's beautiful. It's about women connecting. I really do believe in community. My foster kid
loves community,
foster girl in me. And I just think, gone are the days where you sit alone in an office with your therapist and act like you're the only one with that problem and poor me and, oh, you don't understand me. It's no, like you get around community. What did our ancestors do? Bring it to the fire, bring it to the circle, you know, and we would feel and see and validate and guide each other and support each other. And so that's really throughout the year, we do different intakes. And I love that program because I think when I die, I want that to continue forever. I want it to go for 500 years. It's like,
I love that.
Yeah.
The impact that something like that makes and the people that other people meet through that. So that's absolutely amazing. I can't wait to see what you're doing to read. Best.
Yeah. I'm doing that. And then I've got something that I haven't done yet or talked about yet, but we're making it. I'm actually doing a logo for it because I feel like I need to visualize how things look sometimes. It's probably the same.
Sure.
Visual. And it's the Queen's Table Mastermind. And I'm trying to look at how we could, I know, and there's like a chess piece and it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like about getting a higher level, a group of women together to all life coaching, no business. Cause I was doing some business work before and I want to die on sisterhood. If I go, it's like Erica was the life coach therapist who put a rocket up my ass, who empowered me to believe that I could do this, who loving bitch slap reminded me to go for it. So I'm possibly going to launch something called the Queen's Table Mastermind, and it would be small groups of 10, like small cohorts of women that just support each other and have each other's back, and we can do our coaching and we can do events. I love events.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'm coming to America June, July, 2024. And if I do, we must do something. Like we have
1,000%. And we have to wear pink.
Yes. Are you kidding me? Like pink venues, everything. It's happening. Yes.
I love it. And same if I make it to Australia, a place I've never been, but have always thought about, like Beautiful. I love that you're there.
Yeah. You can come visit your Aussie Amazing. Puerto Rican friend. Like in America, everybody's Puerto Rican. Like, oh, here, they're yeah. like, I'm an endangered species, Rachel. They don't know.
You're like, I'm one of five. That's wild. So tell us, Erica, obviously, other than Australia, where yes. can we find you? Where can oh. we see all that you're doing? Shout out all the spaces that you're yes. at. Obviously, the podcast. Give us all the things.
Yes. So I'm always on Instagram and I am in there. I love talking to women on there and just hearing and messaging. I'm really bad. I will try to answer all my DMs, which is a hot mess because then you're tired. But like, I really, yes. really love talking to you. Also at the Queen of Confidence on Instagram. And if you love this episode, please tag us so we can share it. Yeah. The Confidence Chronicles podcast. It's a podcast that, I don't know, we got 370 episodes or something now, which wow. is really awesome. I know. I
can't Congrats. That's amazing.
Wow. Like it's just short and snappy. I've covered almost everything, I think. And so that's really a place where I like to get women to go and listen and vibe and feel
yeah.
how they feel about it. Cause I obviously have a style like you, I swear. And I like to be who yes. I am. And so I'm not for everyone, but I think it's a good place for people to start.
Yes.
And then on the, I'll send it to you, the link, but there's a free creating confidence kit. So it's like a queen's kit
cool.
for women who want to know the five steps to create confidence. And it's a yes. down cheat sheet plus a video series, really short, snappy videos of me basically telling you to believe in yourself and go for the things you want. So
I love it. I think just as much as you said in your early days, like having Gary Vee in your ear and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Who wouldn't love to have you in their ear saying, come on.
And then the book. Yeah. So it's on Amazon. You can get it on my website. There's an audio book, like all the things. There's a podcast series about the book that snippets little pieces of the audio book. I'm going to send it to you guys so you have all the copies.
Oh my God, I'm honored.
Yeah, a little pink Bible with cheetah.
Yeah, I love that it's pink. Like, of course, you held it up. I was like, yes, so good. Yes, everyone, please go find Erica there. Like, you will not regret it. Such incredible content. So, Erica, thank you again so much for being on the podcast. I can't wait to listen in to your podcast, get ready for that second book, and see all that you're doing. For everyone who's listening, we want you to just remember that confidence is truly a journey, and it's all about that empowerment within, as we talked about today. And Erica, thank you so much for sharing that incredible, inspiring wisdom with us. Thank you so much for listening to the Bod Pod. Stay empowered, keep shining, and make sure, as Erica said, you give this podcast a like, a review, subscribe, and be sure to find us on YouTube so you can see our smiling faces. You can also watch this episode for free in our app at the BodCon and find us on Instagram at the BodCon. We can't wait to see you all there. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Bod Pod. We release new episodes every week and we're available on all podcast streaming platforms and now YouTube too. Subscribe to our channels to be the first to know. Want to talk all things body confidence, enter amazing giveaways, and hear updates about the BodCon 2023? Find us on Instagram at the BodCon. My name's Rachel K. Grimm, and I'll see you next week.